Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. An old friend of the show, guy who has been the voice of college football, the color commentator, along with Tim Brando for decades now, and is, but more importantly, he was the voice of 1560 back in the day, and that, I think, probably when he, you know, when he looks back at his career, that's going to be the crowning achievement.
Most
Spencer Tillman joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Spencer, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing great. We pushed the envelope on 1560, but we've never pushed it to the length that the NFL has pushed it, though, man. So we have a lot to smile about.
We were fair, and we were just okay. Let's dive right in, Spencer. Listen, Colin Kaepernick, it cost him his career when he stepped out and he made a choice and he said this is what he believes in. Brian Flores as well. It could well cost him his career, but it might end up actually changing things in the NFL. Is this move by Brian Flores, could this be a game changer someday?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's as important as Colin Kaepernick. You know, I'm not necessarily agreeing one way or the other, but there has to be inflection points when you look at history. And I spent a lot of time studying systems and why they fail, and that's what I'm interested in. And the NFL is one of those. College football is another one for 115 years. It moved along, and it really confounded me how a system could move along and basically be a sophisticated form of slavery covered up with niceties of complexity. Now, that shocks people when I say that. But at the end of the day, you had one of the most conservative chief justices. I know some people think he's a moderate. But it was Brett Kavanaugh himself who wrote in his opinion that the NCAA was basically in violation of Sherman antitrust law. Well, guess what? That didn't just happen yesterday. This system had been in place for 115 years. And you could say that the last 50 of it is the most egregious because that's when the significant dollars, most recent, $1.5 billion that the NCAA has earned. So when you look at it, man, I'm not surprised by any of it. I'm just shocked at how long the system can go on without it being impeded by some truth. That's all.
So, well, you've delved into some deep stuff there. You pro or anti NIL?
I'm pro because I do understand the nature of change. It is going to be, in some ways, history is prologue, right? It informs us. If we look at Reconstruction and look at what happened in that period, well, it wasn't a failure. It was just that there was no infrastructure in place. When you give somebody who's never had anything, everything at once, what is it going to do? It's going to amplify whatever dysfunction is there, whether that dysfunction is their own or was induced by a set of circumstances. So in this regard, the NIL, you got 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. What do they know about doing life? But that doesn't mean that you have the right or the privilege to abstain them from enjoying those basic privileges. It's just that there's never been an infrastructure in place. And because of the economics today, parents are so preoccupied with trying to do life. You can't listen. My dad worked, and my mom was a missionary. She traveled, did a lot of work. But we could get by on a little bit we have. And we were broke as the Ten Commandments. We didn't have much, but we had a lot of love, right? And we can do that. You can't do that today. You got to have both parents. And that means something is going to suffer as a result of both being occupied. And so for those out there that can do it and do spend time with their kids, I'm not advocating one above the other. I'm just simply saying that something is missing when we don't have both those parents in those positions, no matter what the composition of the family is, in those roles of being mentors.
Spencer Tillman with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. To that, Spencer, can you please take over from Mark Emmert in the NCAA because you want to talk about a guy, and they just buried their heads in the sand and just said, "You guys work it out. Let it be the Wild West, and we're not going to regulate this thing at all, or try to put anything in place where it'll be where we can actually have a successful way to get kids the money that they deserve for filling up those stadiums."
These guys like Crispus Attucks. If you know your American history, he was the first one to take a bullet in the American Revolution. He got it just standing there. Happened to be black, by the way. Crispus Attucks took that first bullet. You know, Mark Emmert is the same way. This guy gets hit with a $5 million bullet every 3 or 4 years just standing there. He has made no material decisions about how it should be governed. That's what leadership is supposed to be about. They tout themselves as producing leaders, and I'm sorry, but education in the strictest sense, we're talking above his head, has not done a great job in the last 20 years or so of preparing kids to compete in life. And usually what happens, you guys, you find that in study history, education in a stricter sense in the four walls of academia usually trails what's happening in reality by about 15 to 20 years. And that's what's happening right now. They're not preparing kids to really compete in the dynamic, tumble, rough and tumble world of life. I mean, man, it's tough out here, brother. It's tough. It's tough out here. So we need people who are true leaders, and that is people who have the finger on the pulse of what's happening in life, and then more importantly, have the influence. Because that's all leadership is, influence, nothing more, nothing less. I don't need power. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for influence. If you give me the ability to influence somebody, spend time with them, build relationships, man, we're going to win. We're going to win because I care. And Mark Emmert should care, but he doesn't have the capacity to extend that care beyond the constituency of those 1,100 or so institutions that he's governing. So that's a problem. That's a big problem.
What do you think about, Spence? I find it interesting that Lane Kiffin is kind of put some family business out, SEC family business, and then Jimbo kind of addressed it. I mean, I think obviously it's more complicated than the words that were said between these two coaches. But what do you think about the way that NIL, the unregulated version of NIL that we've gotten, is really creating a lot of stress and tension just amongst coaching staffs and universities now for fear that some universities aren't going to be able to compete for the NIL dollar the same way that others can?
Well, remember, Lance, and you guys have been around the sport long enough, you know it. I mean, you guys are pros. Sports' real value is it reflects what happens in the broader context of society. What's the stratification of the classes in college sports, football and basketball in particular, is no different than what happens in society. So you have this stratification, this separating, this sifting out among the haves and the have-nots. All the lack of structure does, and that's what NIL has exposed, is make it clear. Yes, truth always moves through three phases, and this is the rough and tumble part of that phase. No structure, and that's the reason why I compared it to Reconstruction earlier. When you free 4 million people who have never had freedom before, hell, you're going to have some rough spots someplace, and they're going to be the stakeholders whose voices are going to be louder than some others. And I think the greater point of this narrative is, what does this mean when you have coaches willing to bicker between one another in this context? All it means is the overarching structure is weakening. That means there will be a clear break from the NCAA, from the top-tier institution, within the next three calendar years. I will guarantee you that. I said on CBS in 2008 that the then current form was on its deathbed, that the only question was how costly the funeral was going to be. And it eventually happened. And then within my lifetime, and I certainly appreciate that because it didn't make me look like a fool, but at the end of the day, the league, man, is in trouble. I mean, it's all about abdicating responsibility. Leadership is about identifying threats, calling plays to give you the best chance to succeed against those threats and executing them. That's what a quarterback does, right? Mark Emmert has failed to be a quarterback. These coaches really are failing to struggle with the realities of an unstructured system. And as a result, they're willing to say, hey, look, 40,000-foot level, guys, this thing isn't going to exist. Why do we have to be accountable to anybody? Who's going to govern us? Nobody. I'm speaking my piece. And that's exactly what you're experiencing right now. So it's Katie bar the door, man. Everything is happening. But listen, it's part of the process, and I'm embracing it because I understand what the big picture is going to be. And unless you understand what the big picture result is going to be, you're going to have that fear and anxiety and be screaming from the rooftops that the game is falling apart. No, it's part of a natural cycle. This is predictable.
Well, there's always been haves and have-nots. I mean, come on. The NCAA the National Championship is the invitational for Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson. I mean, that's Oklahoma. That's what it has been. You know what they're afraid of is that, now all of a sudden Louisville might get involved in this. We don't want Louisville involved in it because they got some boosters with deep pockets. We can't have that. Not in our National Championship. What are you thinking about the playoff and the way these conferences, they're all so selfish, Spencer. What are you thinking about the playoff and the possibility of 8, 12, whatever it's going to be and how that's going to work out?
And that's a brilliant take and overall observation because what it does, it taps into what the fear and the underlying fear and the angst is to this whole conundrum that we are in a nation. When you open things up, let's go back a little bit in history real quickly. Appalachian State upsets Michigan. Boise State upsets Oklahoma. When you start seeing the encroachment of people who have been outside of the structure start to have success, then it forces you to examine, well, what material difference is there between us and them? None. Maybe tradition. Tradition was the currency of college football, but not anymore. If you give me some talent and you let me recruit and you give me any modicum of resources, I can beat your ass. That's the deal. That's the problem. So membership has its privileges. These coaches understand, and that's Oklahoma's no different. Oklahoma understands that. Even Texas understands that. As much money, they've got more money than second perhaps to Yale or Harvard. They've got more money in their endowments than anybody else, period. But even they understand the value of being in alignment with the top tiers so that when everything shakes out, they're going to be sitting there, a member of a group of conferences and institutions that have the ability to aggregate eyeballs so that they can leverage it and so that they can get the big payday from the networks. Because there's always going to be enough people out there willing to pay for that from the advertising standpoint. So that's and you raise a brilliant point because it forces us to look at the big picture, why they are doing what they're doing. The behavior is all explainable. Follow the money trail.
Spencer Tillman with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nobody uses bigger words for about a college football playoff than Spencer Tillman. I can tell you that right here and now.
You got to hear it. This is a dumbed down program, Spencer.
Yeah,
you Spencer. Know your audience.
Yeah.
Know your hosts.
Spencer, Oklahoma. I got a feeling that some people at Oklahoma feel like in the long run, you're going to be much better off because of Venables.
They feel like the jilted bride, didn't they, for a while there? I was just like, man, come on, dude, just let it go. Let it go, man. And I was okay with it because that's part of it. Oklahoma is an interesting study. You know, everybody knows I put an asterisk by my comments with respect to Oklahoma because I'm a grad. But I can tell you, man, that Oklahoma sits in a position where it's not in a hotbed of recruiting talent. So when these little tectonic shifts happen within that program, they're real. You better believe they feel that, man, because there's not a lot that insulates them. Listen, you go back to Bud Wilkinson's days, Oklahoma was playing guys that were 30 years old, man. That's the reason. They had just come back from the war. They won those 47 games straight. They were doing that with grown-ass men. That's what they were doing that with. And so that tradition was built in a very atypical way. They were able to leverage it consistently. Bob Stoops, love him to death, did the same thing. They continue to leverage that status. And what that does, it produces tradition over time. But we know we're in shorter cycles these days, right? You know, if you miss three or four consecutive years and you're average or below average, you're going to miss a recruiting class that you otherwise would get, a quality recruit. Because all they know is, what did you do recently? That's all I see. But that hadn't always been the case, but because of the proliferation of media and people can tell you instantly how you are doing or not doing, like you or not like you, make you feel a certain way about yourself. You know, that's why we're in the situation that we're in right now. So it matters when these programs have hiccups along the way. Somebody comes and poaches your coach. Guess what? Some teams are better suited to respond to that than others. Oklahoma's not really suited well. I mean, they were lucky to get Brent Venables back, guys. Think about that. The way he left out of there, he should have never had any asterisk by his name or shared a coordinator position with anybody, Mike Stoops or anybody. He should have never been a co-anything. That guy proved his worth when he went to Clemson. You know, and so ultimately, for him to come back tells you something about who he is and what his character is about. It's really more like a prodigal coach situation. The guy comes back, they embrace him. He had no right or reason to come back because they didn't treat him well on the way out. So Oklahoma's lucky as heck right now that they got their guy.
That's great. That's Spencer Tillman right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As always, it's great catching up to you, Spencer. We appreciate your time. I know you're heading out of town, so we appreciate you spending the time with us. Have a great day, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Spencer.
Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. That's Spencer Tillman.